This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome to the Simple Politics podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte, and I am a self-declared budget week disliker. I think hate's quite a strong word. I'm useless at this stuff, but thankfully I have my brilliant colleagues with me, Tatton and Diane, who know all about it and can help us all through it. How are you both?
I'm great, thank you, Charlotte. I wish I could budget for my own life. But besides that, we're all over this budget stuff. Besides being completely incompetent with my own money, all over it.
Do you know, I thought it was a better budget for being able to follow this year. There didn't seem to be so many OBRs and IMFs and IFS, and like there wasn't so much of that. And that's the stuff that always leaves me going, what? Who? What? Like he was up on his feet for like an hour and 10 minutes, but he didn't do a lot of that forecasting stuff that hurts my head. That was good.
I still think they're missing a trick. You know, from COVID days where we had slides, I still think he could have a slideshow.
Well, what he could have done is what happened in COVID days is there'd be a statement in the Commons and then in the evening, a 5 p.m. press conference where there were slides and there were other experts involved and then questions from the media and... Because, listen, this is in my book, Politics But Better, available from www.spstuff.co.uk. I think that they worked out over the pandemic how to be really clear about things. Well, they tried to be really clear about things. They worked out a better way of being clear about things. They worked out a way of engaging directly with the public. They worked out a way of doing it, you know, not in the middle of the day. So in the evening after work, or I mean, a lot of people still at work at five, but whatever. And then they've abandoned it. Rather than learning from, they always talk about learning the lessons from COVID. And this was a lesson they could really easily have learned. I mean, Rishi Sunak, I don't think we've got time to talk about it this weekend, but this podcast, but look, Rishi Sunak on Friday did an emergency statement where he spoke about extremism, but he did it on the steps of Downing Street, which is where you do like, we're going to war stuff, or there's going to be an election, which was, so there was no press questions afterwards. And certainly what I really liked in the COVID briefings was the presence of experts. Now, of course, those experts are going to be handpicked to agree with the government, because if you ask a room full of experts, you get a room full of different ideas because there is no one truth.
Yeah.
But doing it like that works really well. And Jeremy Hunt could have stood there and said, next slide, please. Many times.
That's what we wanted.
And that's what we want. Next slide, please. And I don't understand why it's been abandoned. Like yesterday was some real financial changes that are going to affect real people. And it should have been communicated in a way that real people can engage with it.
But on the selfish note, I suppose if the government communicated very well and very accessibly, there'd be no point of having Simple Politics. So,
oh yeah, no. Famously, there was no point in SP during the pandemic.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No, but they just need to do better. They need to do better than this. And yesterday was a big reminder of that. I think selfishly, by the time we got to 4 o'clock and we'd heard all the speeches, I was pretty much done.
Yeah.
And if there was a 5 o'clock briefing, I would have been weary. But we wouldn't have actually had to do much work because he would only have said the same thing.
Yeah.
As he did, you know, it wouldn't be a big change. It would just be like, this is national insurance that comes out of your wage if you do this. You can just explain it a bit better.
Yeah. Well, that got pretty deep for an intro. Let's move on to the first section of the podcast. That's the top posts of the week. So Tatum, what was our third most popular post of this week?
Our third most popular post was Liz Kendall, who, before I tell you what she said, I will remind you, is a Labour shadow minister, right? Not in the government, shadow minister. She's the shadow work secretary. And she said, under our changed Labour Party, if you can work, there will be no option of a life on benefits. Liz Kendall, just edging towards the phrase benefit scroungers there, just walking towards, I mean, this, it says under our changed Labour Party, but that could be under this Conservative Party. Like, it's a phrase the Conservatives would use. But Labour are also saying we've got to work more. Mm. All Labour's plans involve growth and our country growing and being more productive and not just, you know, not just borrowing. In fact, they're not going to borrow anymore, or they will a bit, or they might raise taxes. Nobody knows. You've got to work, because if we're not back in work, there are 10 million fewer people in work now than there were pre-pandemic. Mm. 10 million fewer people aged appropriately for work. That's not the phrase. But if people aren't working, there's a lot of people who aren't working, and Labour are saying they've got to work and we're going to make it harder to be on benefits if you can work. And that's, I think a lot of the comments on the post missed that. If you can work, if you are disabled and cannot work, you will be able to have a life on benefits. If you are disabled but can work, because not all disabilities stop you from working. I'm disabled with my mental health. I officially have a disability, but I can work. And so I do, and I don't claim benefits. So it's partly a reasonable thing to say. We want people to work, but it shows where the Labour Party are. And it shows how much they're courting centre-right votes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Diane, what was our second most popular post of the week?
Okay, second most popular post of the week is, we wanted you, our lovely reader, listener, to try and help us spread the word about voter registration. Because we saw a stat, and it's pretty shocking. And actually, since doing this, I've read more this week, and it's probably higher than this, but up to 7 million people are missing from the electoral register, okay? And that stat covers England and Wales. So if you add in Scotland and Northern Ireland, it's higher. It could be another million higher, you know? So that's a huge amount of people who aren't registered, so therefore can't turn up and have a say in elections. And, you know, however you feel, whenever we post and say, register to vote, you know, I could pretty much write you what people are going to say now, which is like, oh, but the system's not fair. Oh, but I want to spoil my vote and protest. Well, you can't even get in there and get a ballot paper to spoil unless you're registered to vote. So, you know, however you feel about it, if you think you're not going to turn up on the day, if you blah, 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 just do it now, a present to your future self, and then see what the parties are saying nearer the time. But, you know, you got to be in it to even get through the door.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and just a spoiler, we are going to push this hard over the year. Before the May elections, we're going to push it over the summer, before the autumn, presumably the autumn election. Push. And as soon as that deadline's finished for voter registration, we're then going to nag you to vote as well. So you can look forward to SP really nagging. Doing the nagging thing. These posts will mostly be written by Diane. She's a good nagger.
Yeah. I am certified. Ask my husband.
Yes, yes. How he does. Yes, he texts me sometimes about how much you nag. And you'll be able to tell the ones that I've written, because I'll only write them when I've just got really cross. So they'll be more grumpy. And less Diane's will be funny and quirky and, you know, just a bit naggy. And mine will be fucking register.
Yeah, it's free, it's easy to do, and even if you don't vote, it helps your credit score. So you've literally got nothing to lose. There we go. That's been a PSA from Simple Politics. Tatton, what's our most popular post of the week?
Our most popular post of the week. Whenever this guy opens his mouth, he's our most popular post of the week. SP fans love him. His name is Martin Lewis. He's money-saving expert. He's financial guru. He's got his own show on Five Live. He's got his own show on ITV. He's so popular on our channels, we might just rename ourselves Simple Martin Lewis. And this week, he was up in front of the House of Commons to talk about financial education, which is a huge topic and something we do very, very badly, very briefly. One of the reasons we do it badly is it's a bit in the citizenship curriculum and it's a bit in the maths curriculum at secondary school. And those things tend to be run by different people. And so it kind of slides down the gap in the middle very frequently and just doesn't really get done by either. So that's one issue with it. Yes, I have been reading an article about it. I was head of citizenship and used to try and meet the people from maths, and they were like, well, we'll just do this. I'm like, yeah, but can we do this as well? No, we'll just do this. So, but this quote wasn't actually about that. I mean, a little bit about that, but he said, when someone says they can't come out, let's stop saying, oh, come on. Let's build a society where you can say, my finances don't allow me to come out. And we all go, yeah, I totally get you. Maybe we'll come round to your house and watch the telly. And it's just about this kind of toxic culture that we have in so many ways. You're no fun if you don't come out. And, you know, like just on a personal level, it's not necessarily my finances, but like my head says I can't go out. And I'm so lucky that now I do have friends that go, fine, I'll come to you, rather than let me cancel altogether. And that's really amazing. But for a long time, I didn't. And there would be this, oh, come on, come on, come on. We need to accept more people's needs. And we also need to accept our financial situation more. You know, things are more expensive. We have just been through a cost of living crisis. Inflation is now about 4%, but that means prices are still going up by 4% every year. Sometimes money is tight. For most of us, sometimes money is tight. For some of us, money is always tight. And pints are expensive. And, you know, going out. And then, you know what, when you're out and you've had a pint or two, you spend more money because, hey, it doesn't matter anymore. We should be able to be supportive of people who cannot come out.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think it's a depressing thing. You know, some people took it like that in the comments, like, oh, but we should all be able to go out whenever. But actually, you know, some of that is, imagine you have like, I don't know, a life goal, you want to go traveling or you want to get something done and you've got, you've actually got a savings target, and that might be why you're not coming out, you know, because you're like, actually, I'm working towards something. And so you don't need all the eggers on going, come out and blow 60 quid on a night. You know, it's just, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's just people being a bit more financially responsible.
I think there is certainly an element, certainly in our comments, and you see it elsewhere, this idea that we should be able to do anything we want. And maybe universal basic income would allow that. And let's be honest, if there was a universal basic income, it wouldn't be enough for you to go out and get on the wines out and about every, you know, it's not going to be that much. Although, you know, it's universal, so it would be on top of your wages. And that could well, you know, allow you to make friends with Jack Daniels of a weekend. I just, this utopia where we can all go out all the time, where we are free to do whatever we want and buy whatever we want, it's really hard to achieve. Like, it's really, really hard to achieve. And we can, and you can say, well, yes, it's capitalism that's the fault. And maybe it is capitalism that's the fault, but there aren't many other countries that use other systems where you can go out and do whatever you want and buy whatever you want. So it would be a very, very radical change, and managing to do it in a way that no country has ever done. Now, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but to get from here to there is quite the challenge.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. He makes a good point. Well, he always does, doesn't he?
Oh, everyone loves him so much.
Well, you know what was good yesterday? He tweeted after the budget. A lot of people have clearly been tweeting him being angry for saying positive things about some of the stuff in the budget. And he was just like, to be clear, I'm not political. I don't follow a political party or whatever. If something is good or if something is bad, I'm going to call that out regardless of the party. And I was like, yes. Good.
That's really cool. Mm. And on that, I think we're about to talk about the budget, mm-hmm. but nothing to do with a specific budget. When the SNP spokesperson stood up to respond to the budget, he started off by listing the things he liked from it. And obviously then went on to pull it apart and say it was all generally rubbish. But that ability to stand and say the things you like and that you welcome was so refreshing. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. The politics we like to see. Anyway, talking of the budget, let's move on. We've rejigged things a little bit this week for 1 week only, because we are going to do Budget Watch next. So, Tatton.
Oh, okay, right. All the budget in 30 seconds.
Go for it.
Before we do, I just want to explain this wasn't one of our top posts because we were working all day and we did, I think, 17,000 posts yesterday. And so they weren't top posts. In fact, some really good posts that we wrote got very little because we'd posted so much that Instagram was like, what are you doing? No one's going to see these. I'm not going to let anyone see these posts. And then we posted a costume at the end of the day, Go to World Book Day as me. And I think it was the worst performing post we've ever done. And I'm blaming the fact that it's got the budget. I'm blaming the budget, not the fact that it had my face on it.
It's got nothing to do with your face.
I think it's probably my face. Anyway, right, budget, 30 seconds. Fuel duty was frozen. It's always frozen. They're never going to put it up. But if it hadn't been frozen, it would have gone up by about 50 quid for your average driver. There's so many average people in this.
Yeah.
And obviously, don't forget, the average person doesn't exist. But the average person would have saved 50 quid. It's hard to say they really saved 50 quid because it was never going to go up. But if it had gone up, it would have cost 50 quid. So we've all saved 50 quid there, except that I drive an electric car and I haven't saved anything from it. So
and
boo.
I don't drive.
Oh, I mean, who's the average person in us three?
I'm a gas guzzler.
I'm just this Diane is the average person. Child benefit limits. So they've gone up to 60K for now, and then it's going to become a joint household income thing later. Vapes are going to be taxed, but not until 2026. So get them in now, vape fans. Don't say that. I shouldn't say that. No, especially if you're like a child or you're listening with a child. Children, don't vape. Alcohol duties frozen.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Again, and then we've got a 2p cut in national insurance. And national insurance, you cut what you cut national insurance because that's paid by workers. Mm-hmm. So it's about the incentive to work. Most people get income and that's taxed. And that one, they're not touching that. It's only for people who are working, they're cutting that. And that's £450 for your average person who's on £34,000 a year, £35,000 a year. Don't forget, the average person doesn't exist. And then there was a little bit more messing about. Like, there's no more tax breaks for Airbnbers, people who own Airbnbs, because they were always a stupid tax break. And Jeremy Hunt, to his credit, was like, yeah, it's a stupid tax break, so we're going to get rid of it. He's keen on life sciences. So this is one of my highlights. We got leveling up, right? Leveling up money, which is all about going around the country, leveling up. Mm-hmm. And he announced a big slice of leveling up money for Canary Wharf.
Yes.
You know that big bit of London that's like really got the deprived. Biggest skyscrapers and like they're getting leveling up money. And the reason is that I've got a friend who works there actually, and he does like 3 days working from home and 2 days in the office, and everyone does that. And he works at Barclays, right? And there's a Barclays skyscraper, a whole skyscraper with the word Barclays on the top, and it's empty. Because everyone's working from home. Pre-pandemic, it was full. And so they've got loads of empty office spaces. And now we're going to get life sciences in there in Canary Wharf so they can like test on animals and shit in like a really luxurious environment, which is good. So it was odd. But it was not. Do you know what? I've done more than 30 seconds, but I think I've gone through it quite well. Well done, me. Pat on the back. No one else is going to say it, are they?
Well done,
never praise you.
They were. Thank you very much. That's what I was hoping for. Everyone was expecting a big announcement we didn't know, but everything had been leaked. Everything. We knew non-doms was coming. Mm. We knew Downing Street actually confirmed the national insurance cut, which never happens. And so it's all kind of like he started to finish up, and we were chatting on Messenger, the three of us. It's like he's not got anything else, has he? So the assumption is he will go again in an earlier autumn statement than normal. Autumn statements are normally November, but he'll go again in September, maybe even before conference season, because we might get conference season now. Mm. He'll go in at some point, and that's when we'll get, because hopefully we'll be out of recession by then. Mm-hmm. We'll have two quarters worth of results by then, and we'll be out of recession, and inflation might be under 2%, and all of the good things that he wants could be in place for him to put things in place in a election winning, grandstanding, lights and glamour autumn statement.
That makes sense. That actually, I hadn't been thinking about that, but that makes total sense to do that and pull all the rabbits out of the hat in autumn. But I mean, for me, the interesting thing is listening to a lot of people unpick the budget today, you know, everyone on Breakfast News and all that kind of stuff. And they're all talking about who this budget was for, largely. And it seems to be middle families is what everyone's coming up with. Like, you know, conservatives traditionally have appealed to older voters at times, you know, but there's nothing for pensioners in there yesterday. You know, national insurance isn't for them, doesn't do anything for them. This is very much families, NI, keep your glass of wine the same price, your fuel that you drive to work the same price, bit around child benefit. Definitely felt like that middle that he was aiming at. And that's kind of interesting for the Conservative Party, I think. I'm not sure it worked. I'm not sure it will work, but it seemed to be where it was aimed at, some of the policies.
I think the problem with tax cuts is that what costs the government a lot of money, you know, 2p tax cut costs billions, doesn't benefit us that much, because the point of tax is we get a little from everybody and it creates a big pot, right? So giving back a little bit of the little bit that they take, like 40 quid a month or something, you know, for the average person, right, It's not that much. It's not going to make you go, I am so much better off. I'm definitely going to vote for this government. Mm. So it's tax cuts are hard because everyone wants them.
Mm.
But when they exist, unless you scrapped national insurance altogether, which I briefly thought he was going to do, but unless you make a big change, it's not the vote winner that people seem to say it is.
Mm.
Especially in the current climate. Like, we had a lot of comments being like, you know, okay, 40 quid extra a month, great. In other news, my rent has gone up by £100 a month and, you know,
yeah,
all these things going up and up. So
yeah,
it is kind of a drop in the ocean. Anyway, I fear that if we continue to talk about this, we will be answering questions that we have about the budget.
Ooh.
So we're going to move on to the mailbag. And the reason we swapped this round this week is because some of you had budget questions. So we thought we'd do an overview first and then answer your questions. So first up, Chloe asks, does a drop in the amount of national insurance paid mean less money available for public services?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not really, a bit. Overall funding for public services was committed to a while ago at going up 1% each year.
Yeah.
There had been talk of that money decreasing to 0.75%. Okay, so 1% is below inflation. So in real terms, public services need to reduce funding.
Mm.
That drop in national insurance might partly be paid for by the non-dom change, but things are tight. And here's the issue. Some departments are protected. Education is protected. The NHS is protected. That means it will continue to grow and it will continue to go up. But the problem with protecting some departments, it means that when there are small cuts, they massively hit departments that aren't protected, which is justice, for example. Transport, maybe, I'm not sure about that. Local councils funding, and local councils are in a load of trouble anyway. So I don't know the exact amount that the national insurance drop cuts, but there are revenue-making bits in there as well. The amount that the public sector is growing remains constant and is not dropping.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, it is not growing very much.
Yeah, agree. I think if Jeremy Hunt would say that you're right, he is, to counter that NI cut, he has raised some other things. So there was some smaller stuff that will, again, be contributing to that. Like, he is putting up the tax on business flights. You know, he's extended the windfall tax. There's things that he did yesterday that are revenue generating that he'll say will be partly, you know, paying for that NI drop. But the interesting thing about public services that Tatton talks to in that 1%, he talked a lot yesterday about the each different service needing to almost pitch for that money and say, we've got a plan and we've got plans to be more efficient, more productive, and that's how you're going to get money in the future from central government, is by saying, look, we've got this plan and we're going to get better at spending our money. You can't assume that you're just going to be handed money.
That's exactly what he said. Mm. And he talked about the NHS efficiency savings we can make in the NHS in various ways. But my mother-in-law was here yesterday, and my father-in-law is a carpenter, an electrician, does all that kind of stuff. And he's done a little bit of work in like NHS spaces. So the amount of money they pay for a light switch is ludicrous. And he was saying that, you know, their lived experience now, they are, you know, semi-retired now, so we might be talking a few years ago, but their procurement is massively problematic. And if we can sort out procurement, if we can sort out more stuff being done on the NHS app, if we can sort out more efficiencies, then we can save, we can just treat more people for the same amount of money. Like, and that's better. Mm. But the other way we are paying more tax is income tax thresholds.
Sneaky, sneaky
fiscal drag, right? Mm. So if the income tax threshold stays the same and wages are growing with inflation, then more people will be earning, let's say it's £10,000. If you were, it's more than that, but if you were under £10,000 and then you get a wage hike, it could take you over the £10,000 limit. Now, historically, these income tax thresholds have risen as we go along with inflation so that no one new gets caught in them. But by keeping them the same level, more people are coming into the basic range, more people are going into the higher range, and that's creating billions and billions more in tax. So that's the one that's secret squirreling away money.
Yeah. So I've forgotten the question now. Yes, but it answered it. Yeah, let's just move on before I mess up. Primrose Delilah and Kit ask, how many of these budget announcements will actually happen? Will any be passed or made law before the general election?
Yes. All of them, almost all of them, because what happens now is there is 4 days, 3 more days of budget debate, and they start to debate things in topics around the budget. And then in a week or two's time, we get the finance bill, which puts things in law. And that goes through pretty quickly. And the House of Lords, I think it in theory goes before them, but they don't change budget. They do not change finance bills. They just nod them through the House of Lords because that's the government have agreed it. And so that's what it is. So there will be a law and all the announcements will be enshrined in law. Like the vape tax for 2026 will be in law. But if Labour take over this year, they can repeal any law they want. They will do a budget probably within the first 100 days. They won't wait until March to do their first budget, I would have thought. And they can say, they can do anything they want because they're the government. No government can bind the hands of future governments. So they can get rid of everything. They could bring back non-doms just for fun, just because no one saw that coming. Ha ha! They can bin the vape tax off. They can do whatever. But incoming governments very, very rarely bin off the bills that they said they would when they were in opposition. They oppose things when they're in opposition. And then when they become government, those things are already in law and they just kind of like let it go. Generally. So I don't think any of the measures announced yesterday or, you know, on Wednesday, whenever you're listening, will be repealed by the next government.
We will wait and see. And similarly, James asks, why all the fuss over this budget when the Conservatives most likely won't be in power by the end of the year?
Because we're in a cost of living crisis now. Because we need to lay the foundations. And like I say, the Labour government won't get rid of it. So we need to start growing now. And Jeremy Hunt wanted to put that. He also wants to win the election, Jeremy Hunt. So don't, you know, he's not just being a lovely, lovely guy, but he put in place some of the measures he believes will start growing the nation.
Budgets are always big events, aren't they? They're one of the biggest things in the parliamentary calendar. And it gives you a good insight into what the government's priorities are and things like that. So there's always a big fuss over it. Okay, I think that's all the questions we have time for, unfortunately. It's time for our crystal ball. So we've talked about what's happened this week. What is going to be coming up over the next week, Tatton?
Well, We've been talking for a long time about how the Liberal Democrats are nowhere in the conversation at the moment. Well, they have their spring conference coming up on the 15th to the 17th of March in York. They could storm the whole thing and, you know, get some coverage on page 8 of a newspaper. It's their chance to lay down some things and lay down some policies that people... But when you're the Liberal Democrats, you've got to make your policies quite bombastic, right?
Yeah.
No one's going to take any notice if you say, well, we'd have done 3p on national insurance, right? No one's going to notice that. You have to say, I don't know, we're going to abolish the monarchy or whatever it is. Yeah. In order to get attention. And the problem with that is then you're then saddled with that. So you said something big to get
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process. So I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention, and then all anyone asks you for the next year is, so how's abolishing the monarchy going to work? Or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not what they're going to say, but it's in order to get attention, you have to say something big, and then you're beholden to that big thing.
Diane, what's in your crystal ball?
So, I mean, it's all a bit of an anticlimax after budget this week, but I scanned the parliamentary calendar yesterday, and the only thing that caught my eye was in Westminster Hall. There's going to be a lovely St. Patrick's Day debate next week, and it's going to be all about how Irish people, what great stuff they've brought to the UK. So I'm going to listen in.
I mean, that sounds great.
Are they actually going to debate that, though? Like, who's going to be like, oh, no, they haven't.
I know.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that. I should add that I'm on Politics Live on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
So if you'd like to hear the same half-baked nonsense I say on the podcast, but watch it live, you can.
Brilliant.
And they get to see your face. And if you want to see Tatton's face more often than you currently do, what you can do is you can back us on Patreon, because if you donate £5 a month or more, then you get the unedited video version of the podcast where you get to see us make all our bloopers and you see our faces. So yeah, patreon.com/simplepolitics if you want to support the podcast and help us keep it going. But that's all the time we have this week. So thank you very much, Tatton and Diane.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, lovely listener. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.